Okay, well, tonight I want to close out a subject that we've been working this summer, and that subject is prayer. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't have more teachings in the future on prayer. I hope we do. But I want to close it out as far as my presentation on this subject. I've titled this teaching, The Magnificence of Prayer. And to close out this subject of prayer, I'm going to have a short review of some of the great truths we've learned about prayer and its significance. But also, I would like to share with you a perspective of prayer that maybe you have not really thought about. I'm going to challenge your thinking here. Prayer, in its simplest definition, is communication between you and God, right? Mm-hmm. You and God Almighty. God designed prayer to do a number of things. There's great benefits to prayer. First and foremost, its great purpose is fellowship with the Father, right? We pray to the Father, we're talking to Him, and He talks to us. We hear from Him. I believe there's not a day that goes by that God is not talking to us. We should do the same. Talk to God every day. We know there's two ways to pray, right? As it says in 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Two ways to pray. What is praying in the Spirit? Speaking in tongues. God, by the way, lists that first, praying in the Spirit, and then praying with the understanding also. So, there are other practical benefits to prayer, and we've talked about these in past fellowships. First, praise and worship. Philippians 3:3 says, we worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in what?
Flesh.
The flesh. No confidence in the flesh. So we can worship God. I mean, there's many ways of worshiping. We can see through many cultures around our world, through history. But the great way we can worship our God is to pray in the Spirit, speak in tongues. Pretty neat. Another wonderful benefit of prayer we learn is thanksgiving, that we can give thanks as we pray to our Heavenly Father, to thank Him. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Another benefit of prayer is our ability to make requests. I think a lot of people think about prayer as, hey, I'm going to ask God for as much as I can get, you know. He's loaded and I'm going to get some. Well, that's okay. That's part of prayer, prayer of requests and supplications. But let's heed Matthew 21:22, where it says, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So we need to believe, obviously, as we pray and make requests known to our Father. Another wonderful aspect of prayer is intercession. That you and I can pray for somebody, a situation that is outside of our influence, maybe even. I talked about praying for Anthony Sakwa in Kenya for the elections to be civil. And that's prayer of intercession, right? We can think about Brother Anthony and pray for him and his country and make intercession. I love the story in Acts 12 when Peter was in prison. And what did the believers do? Did they sit around and cry and be all worried? No, what did they do? They prayed. It says, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And what happened? God sprung him out, and what a great deliverance. So this thing we call prayer is so multifaceted, giving us a communication tool to praise and worship God, to give Him thanks, to make request and supplication, and to make intercession for others in the body of Christ. Now, let me close out this subject of prayer by sharing the awesome value of prayer that you may not have thought about too much. Maybe you have, I don't know, but the depth of this really hit me recently. And so first, let me say this. God values prayer. It is a big deal to Him that we have a vibrant prayer life. Proverbs 15:8 says, "The prayer of the upright is His delight." Now, isn't it interesting in the manifestations that we heard that God is what? Delighted in us. Now, that was some kind of a coincidence, wasn't it? No. God knows what's going on. He knows what's being taught. We hear it in the manifestations. Maybe 50 words were said, and yet here this word delight is used twice in the manifestation. And this wonderful verse, God knew I was going to share with you tonight. So prayer is His delight. He loves it when we pray. He's ecstatic when you come before Him because you're righteous. You are upright, not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus Christ did for you, right? Amen. We have the righteousness of God in us. So that's a big deal. So there's no question about how valued prayer is to God. Now, I want you to think of something here. We are all governed by the same laws of nature, right? We all live by the rules of physics and all the other things that goes on in our world today, in the natural realm. We are closely tied to the laws of physics and all the other natural laws, including time, space, gravity. These determine so much of our life. It's our life. This is what we have to live in this natural world of ours. Now, the past is gone, right? We live in the now. Nothing we can do about the past. The space we take up, we're here. We can't go anywhere else. We're not floating around, right? We're here right now. We live in the natural world without existing with our existing physical bodies, right? But something very unique happens. When you got born again, something totally new occurred. You were a natural man, right? All the laws of physics governed your life, but now you stand out beyond a natural man because you are a spiritual man and woman. That's right. You've got the eternal spirit abiding in you. God's spirit is in you. That makes a whole new lifestyle. That opens up the avenue of our life so much bigger than this worldly, natural world we live in. We are no more limited or held back by the natural realm. You, as a spiritual man and woman, have transcended the natural boundaries. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians, if you want to join me there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have a whole new aspect of life as born again ones. And that's what we want to focus in on. Our new life in Christ, not our old life in Bob. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, a lot of times I hear preachers talk about this verse, and they use this verse that eye hasn't seen. You don't know what God's going to do for you. Nobody knows. God's, you know, the things that he has prepared for you that love him. But they don't read the next verse. Verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You see, we are so limited to this natural world, but when we got born again, the whole, our life just opened up to God Almighty, to the spiritual realities of being a child of God. And we can know the great things of God. But God has revealed unto them by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You want to know the deep things of God? You have that capability now. Not as a natural person, but as a spiritual person. Jumping to verse 12. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God has unloaded on us so many blessings and promises. And because we can know him, we can know what he has for us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which what? The Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We're on a whole new level of life living. It's a spiritual life living. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's no wonder the natural man is living in hell today. No wonder he's got fear and torment and doesn't know what's going on. Because he's living in the natural realm. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. He just can't know them. For they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Right? But he that is spiritual judges all things because we have the mind of Christ. Well, it says so. Yet he himself is judged of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow. So do you see how big our life is now as spiritual sons of God? We're just not some natural person that, you know, we recognize there's a God somewhere up there. No, no, we're his child. We are special to him. We're his delight. And we have abilities beyond what the natural world can really know. We just saw it. Remember, God's word says we are not our own. Why? Because we were bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I think that's 1 Corinthians 6:19. Yes, we live in a physical body, but the real you is the spirit you. It's the Christ in you. You have eternal life. We now live in the realm of the impossible, for now God can do the impossible for us. He can and does much for us that is not even humanly possible for us to do. I'm sure God has saved us so many times, and we don't know it half the time. God just, he does so much for us. And we can have great expectations for him to do even more because we live on the realm of the spiritual, not the physical. What is the bridge between our natural man and the spiritual being we are in Christ? Prayer. Prayer, right? Prayer spans, takes us from our natural being, who we are physically, up into the spiritual realm. That's why I love speaking in tongues, because it's a spiritual prayer. It's perfect prayer in the spirit. My goodness. So as we pray to God, we have expectations beyond what our physical mind could ever fathom. To be physically healed, right? To have things occur that impossible in this world, impossible according to the laws of physics and everything else, yet with God, nothing's impossible. And that's our prayer life, brings us into that lifestyle. Isn't that fantastic? Mm-hmm. My golly, yeah. Prayer is so huge, so tremendous. Prayer is the activator between the natural to the spiritual. It takes us out of that natural man that we are and puts us to the throne room of God before His face. Prayer is the vehicle that takes us out of the natural world limitations to that all things are possible with God. All right? Prayer places us in the realm of the miraculous. And now, having the nine manifestations, God has given us a spiritual tool, a prayer tool, speaking in tongues. Man, that's why we just, if we would just get into speaking in tongues all the time, it's just, we just catch ourselves speaking in tongues and we don't even know it sometimes. If we could just get to that point, oh my goodness, we would be living so above this world. The fears and the concerns that go on around us does not have to be our life because we are seated in the heavenlies. Well, may we wake up to the multitude of opportunities God has afforded us to walk in and to live by as we fellowship with Him via prayer, believing in the realm of the miraculous. And may we all be like Epaphras in our spiritual walk. Okay, Bob, why should we be like Epaphras? Well, Epaphras was a standout believer. And he was one of the few people that's mentioned in the Bible. Why is he mentioned in the Bible? Colossians 4:12. Let's read why Epaphras gets a gold star in the Bible. Colossians 4:12. It says, he was a servant of Christ, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. He fervently labored in prayers, and his prayer was that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Isn't that fantastic? Don't I want to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God? Yes. Why not? Why not rise up in our expectations, in our thinking of who we really are in Christ to be that? So, my prayer is that we can do this. This world is temporary, but God is eternal, right? Yeah. And He is so fantastic, and we get to fellowship with Him via our prayer life, and we can just recognize this temporal life and that we have an eternal life. And there is a day coming when we will be gathered together with Him.
Just knowing that this world is temporary keeps things in perspective day to day, and the burdens that we're tempted so to carry vanish in believing when we pray. Each moment of our lives a new beginning. we can cast our cares away. And in a moment, we'll be gathered up.
You have given us your spirit, that we can have eternal life, that we can live on a spiritual realm way above this world, that we can fellowship with you, walk and talk with you, Father, via our prayer life. And I thank you, Father, that you have done all of this because you love us. And may we love you, Father, and worship you in spirit and in truth. May we just recognize the value of our life as spiritual men and women of God and rise up in this world to do your will, to hold forth the words of life until that wonderful day when Christ comes back to bring us home. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.